Today I would like us, based on the gospel reading for this morning, to focus on familiar, uncommon language we Christians use, uncommon language that permeates our liturgical worship. That common language is compassion and mercy. We have to look at these words. But first, let us quickly review what we have just heard from St. Luke's Gospel. What is the golden rule?
Do unto others
as you would have them do unto you. That's how this morning's reading begins. Is this the Christian way?
No.
It is not the Christian. No. Why? For many of us, for many Christians, this is like the bedrock of Christianity, even more so, I'm embarrassed to say, than Jesus Christ himself. Why is this not the Christian way?
Because you should do whatever you can, not get anything in return. And if someone does something, you're not supposed to pay back that way.
Yes. So let's try to distill it. The golden rule, in case you have forgotten from past years, is not unique to Christianity. It goes back to Greek and Latin philosophy. It goes back to the Aristotle and others amongst the Latin writers. The focus on the golden rule is reciprocity. What we have heard this morning is something beyond reciprocity. What is beyond reciprocity?
To give selflessly.
Anything else?
To be as merciful as God the Father.
To be as merciful as God your Father. These words we have heard this morning follow the Lucan account of the sermon on the plain. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Then he goes on to say, even prior to what we have heard this morning, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Needless to say, these are extremely difficult words, extremely difficult teachings. And yet, we cannot ignore them. We are told by the Lord, we are commanded by the Lord this morning to be merciful as our Father is merciful. The word mercy, and by the way, this also raises a translation issue. The word that is used in Greek is ikthermos, not eleos. Ikthermos, for those who study Greek, know that it means compassion. And certainly we can find examples in Scripture and outside of Scripture, when mercy and compassion are used synonymously. This is what I want us to focus on this morning. What is the difference between compassion and mercy? Can anyone cite an example of when we use these two terms together?
for you are a merciful and compassionate God who loves mankind. This is one of the exclamations we make. What did we sing this morning from the Psalter? The Lord is compassionate and merciful, long-suffering. Are these texts, including mercy and compassion, to simply repeat themselves, or is there a difference? And if there is a difference, and I want to say that there is a difference, what is it? Yes, this is the Buddhist God. Compassion is to co-suffer with the other. To take on the burden of the other. To be with the other to the extent that we are able, or desire, at the very least, to take on whatever is causing pain and suffering for the other. What is mercy?
To take action.
Take action. How? I want to try to present an illustration. Let's see if it works. You are the judges. I am the convicted. I stand before you and ask not for compassion, but for mercy. What am I asking for?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. So let's put flesh on it. What does it mean to forgive?
Another chance.
Yes.
To give of yourself to somebody else.
And how do we have another chance? And yes, Linda?
To give of yourself to somebody else.
To give of yourself to somebody else. This is falling in the compassion department. In the mercy department, something else is going on. If the convicted is standing before the judge, the convicted is in a vulnerable position, the judge is in
superior.
A superior position. Think of our God. God is always in the superior position. We call upon God for mercy, for forgiveness. What does that forgiveness do? What is the existential reality of forgiveness?
To relieve suffering.
Yes, let's bring it from the margin into the descent.
To restore the relationship.
To what?
Remove the sin, like absolution, remove it, like you remove the conviction.
To remove it. To release one from his or her transgression. To offer freedom, release from what has been committed that has caused a break in a relationship. Indeed, this is not at all easy, and we are commanded, be merciful, though we can also say, be compassionate as your heavenly Father is compassionate. Compassion and mercy have to be intertwined. Compassion and mercy have to be wedded together. Why? Because we proclaim that God is compassionate and merciful. God takes on our misery. God takes on our suffering. But He does more than that. God releases us from sin. God frees us from bondage. God, as Louis says, yes, we have another chance. He gives us new life. Though we stand before Him as one who deserves condemnation, as one who deserves judgment, judgment that leads not to freedom, but to imprisonment. We call upon God who is compassionate and merciful. And we are called, based on this morning's reading, to do the same. We not only carry the burden of the other, but we, if we have to, If there's the occasion, we have to forgive the other. We have to show mercy to the other. Why? Because this is how our God acts, functions, and lives among us. We can only draw near to our God because we know that He is compassionate and merciful. We can only draw near to our God because we proclaim over and over again that He takes on our burden. And though we stand before Him as those condemned, we know that He is merciful and releases us from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of all that weighs us down and keeps us from living. Is this easy to do? Is it easy to be compassionate and merciful? No. Some people have been traumatized by others. Some people have been betrayed by others. Some people have been physically, psychologically, mentally, spiritually harmed, damaged by others. And yet, these words are before us. Compassion and mercy. If we deviate knowing from this path of compassion and mercy, what is the result? What happens to us? What happens to the cosmos? What happens to us? Destruction. How does destruction play out?
No longer a community.
So we are fragmented. Yes, we are. There is destruction in that. There is a breakup of relationships. What else happens to us personally and corporately?
In
Christ, we are called to be free by virtue of our baptism, by virtue of drawing near to the chalice. We are free people. We have been released from sin and death. We have received the compassion and mercy of God. We are indeed a new people. And when we deviate from that new life, when we deviate from the path, compassion and mercy, there is a disturbance, to quote some movie, a disturbance in the universe. There is a great disturbance. There is the fragmenting of the universe. There is the breaking up of the universe. There is the breaking up of communion of persons. And therefore, when Christ tells us to go beyond the golden rule, He is telling us to be like Himself. He is telling us to be like His Father, who has sent Him into the world for the life of the world and its salvation. So brothers and sisters, what we hear today in this morning's reading is absolutely fundamental to who we are as Christian beings. Is absolutely fundamental to who we are as disciples of Christ. We are a people called to be compassionate, called to take on the burdens of others, and even more, we are called to be merciful. We are called to reveal God's forgiveness to the other. Why? Because we have received that forgiveness that brings us into this new and eternal life. Amen.